Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. This week we are looking ahead to seven races live on ITV4 from Haydock Park and also from Ascot, where the going is bound to be testing at both venues. There's some really good racing in Thurles on Sunday and all the best bets from elsewhere. Don't forget, any tips you do hear on today's show, you can back at racingpost.com through a number of leading bookmakers. We've got all the special offers as well. We will rattle through the races, starting with Ascot at 1:50. The Warfield Mare's Hurdle Race, it's a grade two, and Niall, I think it's small field. There's a lot of small fields at Ascot. It's more competitive at Haydock. Take us through the latest betting from Paddy Power.
So Papagan is our 13-8 favourite. Magic Blight is 9-4. Sensulano 4-1. Coded Message 7-1. Culture de Savola 10-1. And Liberty Bella is 14-1 outsider.
G-Rod, how are your confidence levels going into this weekend?
I am fairly confident, but it has been an absolutely rotten January so far. I mean, if I count up my losses in January, I don't think I could look at them, you know, because the ground just is ruining things for me. I keep backing horses that look like they're going to win and then just completely capitulate and stop for no apparent reason, apart from the fact that they're running on bog-heavy ground. And we're going to have another real tough one, aren't we, this weekend.
You could always pick horses that have got proven form on heavy ground. That helps, I find.
I try, but it doesn't seem to make any difference.
OK, well, in that case, we'll start with DJ, I think. Go on, DJ. Who's going to win the 150 at Ascot?
Yeah, and I have to start with an apology to you, Bruce, after last week. You were all over Froden, and I was... I couldn't see Top Notch beaten, and probably not for the first time you were right and I was wrong, so well done with that.
Don't worry about it, DJ, that is absolutely fine. We move on. Let's look forward rather than backwards.
Yeah, it's a long year. This 150, I thought it was treacherous, to be honest with you. I did think Papagana was the most likely winner. Just the fact that she's really improving, she seems to have come into her own, she's grown, she's filled out into that frame. And, you know, she's rated 146, she's won on heavy at Sandown, so you know she's going to handle this ground. Just with Magic of Light, I know she's won on soft ground, but she's not from five on heavy ground and not from five on soft to heavy ground. So she's basically not from 10 on heavy or soft to heavy, even though you think she should handle the kind of these conditions. But they are going to be really testing. It's a no bet race for me, which is obviously not a good way to start the podcast. But I think Papagam is the most likely winner.
Niall, who do you like here?
Similar to Dave, it is sort of a no bet race. But instead of doing that, I thought I'd put one up at a price. Papagana should be winning, but I'd be a bit worried by the lack of pace here, and that's why I'm kind of going for the only front runner in the field, Liberty Bella, who's the outsider of six. Richard Johnson takes the ride, and she looks a bit defined on ratings, but she gets a few pounds from the top two. And like I said, I think she might just get that easy lead and maybe stick it out for a place, maybe hang on for a second at least, hopefully.
Oh, very bold start from Niall, the 14-1 outsider of six, Liberty Bella. Graham, who are you going to go for?
A really tough race. I thought the prices were wrong. I thought Magic of Light would be favourite when I looked at it. I was thinking kind of 13-8 Magic of Light, 2-1 Papagana. Now, obviously, I take what DJ is saying, but I know it's heavy and soft or whatever, but is there a heck of a lot of difference between soft and heavy? I mean, I know you get bottomless, but Ascot is not going to be Haydock bottomless, is it? You know, it never gets... Well, I don't want to say never gets terrible there, because it might well be, mightn't it? They've had so much rain. But I just thought that she's got the three best pieces of form in the race, Magic of Light. Definitely all over fences, of course, including her Grand National run last year, which is head and shoulders. So that's going to suggest she's got no problem with the distance. If stamina comes into play on heavy ground, I think she'll get through it. And she's just better than these, I thought. So I was expecting her to be favourite. So with her around sort of 5-2, 11-4 mark, I'd have to back Magic of Light.
OK, we're off and running. Possibly not the most confident selection. I don't think any of those will be the lads' naps. We'll find out later. The 225 at Ascot is the matchbook Holloway's handicap hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles. And again, a small field. We've got eight runners, so we've got each way potential. Take us through the latest from Paddy Power, Niall, and then give us your selection.
Yeah, this is actually our money back special race. So it's money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth in this race. With the eight runners, it's actually quite a good offer. So Pictoria is our 3-1 favourite. Bold Plan 7-2. Ballymoy 6-1, Song for Someone 13-2, Thomas Derby 7-1, Soul Emotion 7-1, Jolly's Crack 8-1, and 10-1 the Knotted side. Yeah, the one I like, it's one of my stronger fancies. It's Bold Plan for Evan Williams. Now, I backed it yesterday because I had a feeling this race might cut up, so I'm glad to see it has. He's gone up £10 for his Haydock win, though I thought he's much better than the result that day. I thought he was just much better in the field. That form actually is substance to it. Like, with Who Shot the Sheriff was second, ran really well in the Betfair Exchange Trophy next time on unsuitable ground. The third finished second on his next start. The fourth, Honest Vic, won the last race at Kempton on Stephen's Day, or Boxing Day, as you call it. The sixth was second in a decent race at Musselburgh. And even the seventh was second in a good novice chase at Exeter, Cateson. I just didn't think there was too many well-handicapped horses in this race that will definitely hand the ground. Bold Plan definitely does. He's only a six-year-old, so could be improving. And yeah, I thought it'd be really difficult to beat here.
Okay, and don't forget what Niall said there. If you back a horse in this race up to £10 or €10 and it finishes second, third or fourth, you get your money back. That's available at paddypower.com and through all Racing Post products. That's a really good offer, that. G-Rod, who's going to win this?
Yeah, one of my more confident bets on the weekend here. Song for Someone for Tom Simons. This horse absolutely slammed Colonel Custard at Fontwell two runs ago, and I think that's quite a smart type. And then last time ran in quite a hot race at Sandown behind Mac the Man, who was very progressive and won his last two. And the second was Protectorar, who went on to win a listed race at Cheltenham next time, albeit to then lose it in the stewards' room and get it back on appeal. So that form's fairly strong. And I think Song for Someone's a very consistent type. That was on heavy ground at Sandown, won't be a problem. And the extra distance might well suit him. So Song for Someone for me.
OK. David Jennings, who's your selection going to be?
This is a disaster because this is my strongest fancy of the day. I think we could be witnessing something potentially a little bit special here. I think Pictori is one of the better handicapped horses in Ireland or England. Now, you're obviously guessing and you're trying to weigh up different strands of form in France, obviously, but one line of form, just to take as an example, on one of its earlier wins at Auteuil, a horse called Canito was hammered back in sixth. Canito went to Joseph O'Brien, hammered Lethal Steps on his first start in Ireland in Nace in a maiden hurdle. It was right at 132, and Pictori was just in a completely different league to him. If you go back to the Triumph Hurdle, a race he only started 12-1 for, given that there was a strong even money favourite in Sir Eric. And the way he travelled through that race, on ground that was definitely quicker than ideal, he traded at a low of 4.7 in running. And through that race, he travelled like a dream. I thought he looked a really good horse during that race. So he got down to almost 7-2 in running. And the thing about him is, like, this is his, I'd say this is his trip, because it's not quite as sharp as 2 miles. Like, it's 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. And like, the ground can't be soft enough for him, given the ground that he won on in France. I think he could be in a completely, totally different league to these, and I'd be very disappointed if he's beaten. He's 33-1 for the Coral Cup at the minute. I think that could look a very big price after the race.
What's he called again, DJ?
Pictori.
These French names, eh? Right then, 3 o'clock Ascot is the Bet365 Handicap Chase. We've got 11 runners, and how do Paddy Power bet, Niall?
So Espoir de Guy is our 3-1 favourite. Happy Divas 4-1. Domaine de Isle is 5-1. Sam's Adventure 11-2. Benny's King 7-1. Kildisart 15-2. Alison Monturg 15-2 and 9-1 bar.
And G-Rod, you're going first. Who wins?
Another one of the better bets on the weekend, Sam's Adventure. Now, this one finished second behind Domaine de Lowe last 2 weeks ago, in fact, at Newcastle. Now, I, as you know, my maths can be a little bit suspect, so I'm not going to go into the exact details of the weight turn around, but I can tell you that it's very big. You know, there's a huge weight turn around here. Plus, you've got Jack Tudor on board Sam's Adventure, and he claims £7. And Jack Tudor is one of the better £7 claimers in Britain. So when you add it all up, someone go away and get their calculator.
It's not that difficult, is it? It was getting three pounds there, and it's now getting £11. So it's getting an £8 turnaround.
Plus, Jack Tudor's £7 claim as well, because last time it wasn't ridden by Jack Tudor. It was ridden by, I don't know, but it's taken ages to update on my phone, but it was ridden by a pro anyway.
Henry Brook.
But I can tell you now that there's not a hell of a lot of difference between Jack Tudor and Henry Brook when it comes to riding, because Jack Tudor is a very, very good £7 claimer. So when you add it all up, it comes up to 15-pound turnaround in the weights.
That's it, 8 plus 7, 15.
For 5.5 lengths with Domaine de Lisle. So, you know, there's absolutely no way that I could be having Domaine de Lisle to confirm that those places with Sam's Aventure. We're only 2 weeks on, so it's not like he's going to have made huge amounts of improvement since Domaine de Lisle. That was on soft ground over 2 mile 7, 2 mile 5.5, on heavy at Ascot. Shouldn't be a problem. I think Sam's Adventure will win.
Lovely. Thank you, Stephen Hawking. Who do you fancy, DJ?
I'm going to chance one at a huge price here, Bruce. A horse called Cave Adventure for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. Now, this horse has had a continuous excuses. Like 3 runs ago, it ran quite well at Bangor, but it lost its 2 front shoes at a crucial stage in the race. It got hampered. It hated the Grand National fences in the Sefton, just didn't take to it at all. And last time at Chepstow, I thought he actually stayed on quite well over a trip that was just too short. An extra 2.5 furlongs here. The key thing here is form on heavy ground, which he gets here. And like we were talking about earlier on the show with Graeme, you just need to find these horses that really, really adore this ground. And Cave Adventure's form in heavy ground reads 1-1-6-1-2-3-4. So he's 3 from 7 and twice placed on heavy ground. I think this trip and the ground should be ideal. I think he's 22-1 at the moment. I think that's too big.
Ooh, 20-1 actually with Paddy's. But yeah, David's taking a real cut at this one. Who are you going to go for, Niall?
Yeah, I can't believe he's after tipping that one up. That's the same one I'm going for. Wow. Adventure. Oh, I had a look at the race yesterday and I thought it was going to cut up and I thought it looked brutal. So I backed a horse of Philip Hobbs called Springtown Lake. And he had 2 in it. Springtown Lake obviously hasn't been declared, so he's left Cave Adventure into it. And it's just a race that I thought looked so bad that I wanted to think outside the box. So I presume David approached it similarly. But yeah, as David said, he's got really good form and heavy ground. He's down to a mark of 132, which is a pound below his last winning mark. He's run some very competitive races. Like he ran the novice handicap chase at the Cheltenham Festival, shaped quite well there. Ran over an inadequate distance the last time. Stepped up to 2 mile 5 here, should suit. Had excuses in some of his other starts. Philip Hobbs in good form. Richard Johnson takes the ride. So yeah, 20-1. I definitely think he's worth chancing each way.
DJ, I'm so glad that you went first there. Can you imagine what you would have been like if Niall had gone first and stolen your thunder there? You'd have been in turmoil, wouldn't you?
And people obviously will be listening going, oh, they were just talking before the show. I swear on my life that we actually didn't. I was as surprised as Niall that he picked it.
Yeah, no, Noel doesn't even like you. You never talk before the show. It's icy silence. No, that wouldn't have happened.
We don't get on well in public at all.
Let's do the big race of the day. It's the 3:35. It's the Matchbook Clarence House Chase. It's a grade one. It's over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And what a rematch we've got. Defi DeSoy versus Undersow. Give us the 5 prices, Niall.
So Defi DeSoy is our 4-5 favourite. Undersow 11-8, Janica 10-1, Capel 25-1, and Mara Kudja 66-1.
David Jennings, lead on. Who's going to win this? What a cracker this is going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, Defi DeSoy is my favourite horse in training. I just absolutely adored him from earlier on in his career, and I just love his attitude. I just love how he just wants to win, and he just does enough. And I suppose the thing here with Undersow, well, first of all, this is probably the wrong thing to say at the start. I don't think it's a betting proposition race because I think this is Undersow. Heavy ground, Ascot, he's won the race twice before. The track suits Defi DeSoy, I think, or suits Undersow. There's your French names getting mixed up again, Bruce. The track really suits Undersow. So this is Undersow going to be at his best. So Defi DeSoy is going to need to produce a spectacular performance to beat Undersow, who on ground described as heavy or very, very soft, is 9 from 10. And the only time it was beaten was when it fell. He's just very hard to beat on this ground. But I do think Defi DeSoy is exceptional. I don't subscribe to the theory as much as most people that he just stops when he hits the front. Like when he won the Triumph Hurdle, he was in front half a furlong before the last hurdle at Cheltenham. And I just think it's the way he likes to be ridden. I think Barry knows him inside out. And I know everybody absolutely loves Undersow, but I would absolutely love if Defi, you know, caught him on the run in a spectacular race, because I think Defi DeSoy will win the champion chase. So a very, very tentative vote for Defi DeSoy, but I'd say listeners are none the wiser.
Listen, David, it's absolutely fine for it not to be a betting race. You don't need to have a bet to enjoy a race like this. It's all about responsible gambling.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, it really, really is. Could you split these from a betting perspective, Niall, or are you just going to sit and watch and enjoy?
It'll depend on what way the prices go tomorrow. I think to 100% I made them 11-10 and 6-4. So, yeah, you can look at it two ways. Like, one way, as Dave said, Undersow, he's what, 9 from 10 on heavy ground, with the other being a fall. And on the other hand, he's a 12-year-old in a grade 1 over 2 mile. Now, I don't have the exact stats, but I'd imagine if you look at all the horses over the age of 11 running in grade 1s over 2 mile, I'd say the record is very poor. Now, Undersow is a little bit different, but yeah, it's just not a horse I'd be following in these type of races, horses of that age. Defi Desoy, I prefer the ground wasn't heavy to be really confident, but I thought he beaten pretty comfortably in Sandown. I know Undersow was coming back at the line, but yeah, I'm just going to chance Defi here. As a betting perspective at the moment, the bet I will have is Capelin without the front two. I just thought the race would set up quite well for him. I'd rather back him over Janik in the race without two.
Okay, G-Rod, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, I mean, it depends, doesn't it? We're guessing, aren't we, really, as to how much do you think Defi had in the tank at Sandown? If you think Defi was absolutely all out and Undersow was going to come past him because he was coming back at him at the line, then you'll be backing Undersow to beat him here because this is a stiffer track on softer ground. And Undersow's going to go, you would have thought, a decent pace in the first two or three at least. You will think that Defi won't get past him because the stiff finish will suit Undersow. But to my eye, he looked like he had a little bit left in the tank. He looked like he was only just doing enough, Defi. So is he going to be produced late again and just, you know, just nail him late? It's a very, very difficult one to call. I think if I was betting on the race like Niall, I would have very little between them. So at the prices, I would have to rather back Undersow because he's the bigger price of the two.
Will you have a bet, do you think? Or will you just wait and see if one of them gets, you know, silly big?
Well, like Altior and Surname earlier in the season. If we'll see what happens in the market. I mean, I think the prices are kind of about right now. There's not a lot in it. I don't see Undersow going off a heck of a lot shorter than 13 to 8, 6 to 4. I could see Defi maybe drifting a little. I don't think there's a lot in it. It's a great race to watch. Tough one to bet in.
Sometimes, Noel, these markets can do funny things on the day, can't they? You're looking at it and you think, well, this is virtually pick 'em, and then all of a sudden one of them gets out to near 2 to 1.
Yeah, the example you mentioned earlier, the Altior race, it could easily go like that. Like, this does look relatively solid. Obviously, we're just taking a little bit more margin now than we will be in a couple of hours when everyone sits down to a look at the positions for the race. But, I can't see this changing too much, being honest. I'd say Defi will probably go off for an even when the Sow looks around the right price now.
We know all we need to know about them, don't we? It should be a fantastic race. Really looking forward to it. Looking forward to Haydock as well. We'll do their three TV races next.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
OK, welcome back. Haydock have three races on ITV4. I think the one certainty is the going is going to be extremely testing. Let's start with the 205. It's the Sky Bet Supreme Trial, known as the Rossington. And we've only got the four runners, but it's fairly competitive. Now, I'll take it away with the prices.
So Edward Stone is their 11-10 favourite. The Banner King Rebel 6-4. Stolen Silver 7-2. And Snooker 25.
And who are you going to go for, Niall?
I was looking at this race last night and it was another that I thought might cut up. I had a small bet on the Banner King Rebel. It was a big enough price, but I wish I had more on. He's into 6-4 now.
What price did you get?
7-2. I only had a tiny bet. I was considering having a big each way bet, but I just anti-post betting something. Yeah, I've just got caught a few times. But so there's only the four runners here. They've stuck a hood on Edward Stone, who can be very keen, and I'm just not sure this is going to suit. He looks like kind of a speed horse to me. Like, I wouldn't be put off him for the Supreme if he got beaten here, because I just don't think this is going to suit. The Banger King Rebel has form on heavy ground, has won at the track. He is giving Edward Stone £5, but I think he'll just get out in front, and I think he'd be very difficult to catch here. So even at 6-4, yeah, I'd rather back him than Edward Stone.
G-Rod, what's your view on this one?
Yeah, very good race for a bet, this one, because I have serious reservations about the favourite, Edward Stone. They're sticking the hood on him, but he's very keen, and you don't want to be being very keen on heavy ground at Haydock. I mean, I could just see him floundering up the straight if he is too keen. Obviously, there is the possibility that the hood might calm him down a little bit, but you're taking that quite a big risk on a horse that's a very short price, and you've got some solid options in against him, and the Banner King Rebel being the most obvious one of them. And he loves soft ground, he handles it well, and he's got pretty much the best form in the race. and along with Edward Stone. So he's the sort of solid bet if you want to bet against him. But I'm just going to throw up a small bet.
You're just going to throw up? Goodness. That's a first.
I feel like throwing up the way my punting's been going recently, I can tell you. I'm going to throw up a small each, well, I would
you
say
can't
each
really
way.
Do each way. It's four runners, G-Rock.
But I am going to back... I am going to back Snookered.
Are you?
Yeah, Snookered, which is, would be.
Don't back it to make the frame.
it would be quite a topical winner because we've got the, isn't it the UK Championships on as well at the moment?
The Masters. So,
is it the Masters? Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it used to be at Wembley, didn't it?
Tell us why, will you? For God's sake, man.
Sorry, getting distracted. So a each way win bet in the four-runner race on Snookered. He was beating 100-odd lengths last time out at Musselburgh, and I just got no idea what happened there. I mean, it cannot be its true form. It just cannot be. It didn't jump very well, and it was a strong race as compared to what he'd been running in, and maybe he just got found out, and it was a fairly big field. Now, this time, we've got four runners. It could end up being a bit silly.
Stop snickering, DJ. You're setting me off.
It could end up being a bit silly. You know, and his previous run was on soft ground at Wetherby. He ran to a Racing Post rating of 140, and I think the best of these has got 142. So he's only like £2 off of them, and he's 25-1, and Edward Stone's evens, and Banner King is 6-4. And if he comes back to that sort of form, he's got an each-way chance.
Shut up, it's a four-runner race.
No, but you can back, say you want to back him, you can back him on Betfair, like places, you know, two places and stuff like that, if you want to back him for a place. But, yeah, I mean, you've got to back him win, sadly, but... yeah, he shouldn't be 25-1. That's essentially my point. We get that?
Yeah, we got that loud and clear, didn't we? DJ, what's your approach going to be to this race?
My favourite part of that performance by Graham was when he was trying to tip the horse. He said the horse was beaten 100-odd lengths at Musselburgh and he was probably just found out in a better race and this is a grade two. Anyway.
But you know with DJ, the weaker, the more incomprehensible, the more laboured the case, the better they run.
I know. Snookered is going to piss up now because it can't conceivably win. But anyway, it's funny. This is a four-runner race and we've mentioned three horses and the only one that hasn't been mentioned is the one I fancy quite strongly and that's Stolen Silver. Edward Stone is obviously favoured, but on a line through Chantry House, Stolen Silver has the beating of Edward Stone because Stolen Silver was beaten a length and three quarters at Cheltenham last time. Edward Stone was beaten 3.5 lengths in a Warwick bumper. So I know you're kind of trying to weigh up bumpers and hurdles, but he at least Stolen Silver got closer to Chantry House. I loved the run of Stolen Silver Foss last two starts back when the ground was officially soft, but it looked bottomless and they finished strung out all day and Stolen Silver absolutely adored it. And when it does get soft, the only thing you can compare Haydock to, I think, is Foss last. So to me, that's a really strong piece of form. He won by 17 lengths from Cottage Oak. And then he came back and finished second to Chantry House at Cheltenham, where he looked like he was going to finish fifth or sixth, kind of coming down to the last. He had been swallowed up after making the running. And then he stayed on again up the hill. I thought that was a really nice performance. I think he's underrated. Like when you look at the ratings, 140, 140, 142 and 141, there's only £2 between the four of them. And yet, at the moment with Paddy Power, Stolen Silver, I think, is 7-2 and there's bigger out there. I think he might win this Stolen Silver.
Okay, there's four runners. The lads have each tipped a separate horse and none of them have gone for the favourite. So make of that what you will. Arguably the biggest betting race of the day is the 240 at Haydock. It's the Peter Marsh Chase, a handicap over 3 miles and 1 furlong. 10 runners, very competitive and good news on the each way front, Niall.
Yeah, we're paying four places here, Bruce. Acting Last is our 9-2 favourite. Definitely Redis 5-1, Prime Venture 11-2, Vintage Clouds 13-2, Geronimo 13-2, Midnight Tune 13-2, Champions on Ice 15-2, and 10-1 bar.
So 10 runners, four places available at Paddy Power and at racingpost.com and on the Racing Post app. So a nice each-way potential race, Graham. Have you got a strong fancy?
Yeah, four places. Fantastic. And that's good for Miles because the one that I fancy is Prime Venture, who's 0-9 over fences and has a habit of running really well without winning. So I certainly wouldn't put you off taking the extra place on Prime Venture. But this is pretty simple. I mean, if Prime Venture can reproduce the form that he showed last time when he was fourth in the Welsh Grand National, he would win. the question mark is that all of his best form is at Chepstow. And obviously the Welsh Grand National is at Chepstow, and this race is not at Chepstow, this is at Haydock. However, Prime Venture has run well at Haydock over hurdles in the past. He was second there in quite a hot race 2 years ago behind Me and Storm. So we do know that he does act at the track, at least he did over hurdles. He loves testing ground, and we've got Isabel Williams taking over from Adam Wedge. She's taking £7 off, and I think she's worth the claim. So Prime Venture for me, and if you want four places, I wouldn't put you off an each way belt on Prime Venture.
Okay.
And you can back this one each way and all.
Yeah, you can. It's amazing that you go from this kind of mumbling, incoherent kind of guesser to the most fluent speaker of all time. It's
and astonishing. Then that one won't win.
Yeah, exactly. DJ, always consistent in his delivery. Who are you going to be tipping?
Yeah, they call that versatility, Graham, I think. That's what we call it. I'm going to go for Champers on Ice here. He's an old favourite of mine, and it's funny. Back at the 2017 Shetland Festival, he was my banker of the whole meeting in the four-miler, and he absolutely embarrassed himself. He nearly fell at the first four fences, and the race was actually won by a horse he didn't do much since, called Tiger Roll. But he hasn't actually ran over fences since that race, Champers on Ice. He's got his confidence back over hurdles. I'm reading David Pipe's blog this morning, and he said the way he's jumping hurdles now is completely different to how he used to jump them earlier on in his career, and he thinks it's going to be the same over fences. And it's interesting that they've waited so long to send him back over fences. Like, he's won twice. He won at Fosslass and he won at Newbury, and then he ran a cracker to finish third to Goodbye Dancer at Cheltenham before Christmas. And I think he's handicapped on his old form, and he's kind of been rejuvenated of late. So I think off 1-4-1 on heavy ground at a track like Haydock is going to really suit him. So I'm giving Champers on Ice one last chance over fences.
Two very good cases. G-Rod for Prime Venture and DJ for Champers on Ice. Who are you going to go for, Niall?
Yeah, I quite fancy one. It's actually the outsider of the field at the moment. It's called Red Indian for Kelly Morgan. Now, she's not the highest profile trainer, though she's actually done very well with what she has. In the last five seasons, she's had 46 runners with 9 winners, so operating at 20% strike rate. And I think the level stakes profit is about plus 20 quid or so. Red Indian is her best horse, and the key to him seems to be fresh and to run on soft ground. His record after a break of 100 days reads 3-1-2, 3-3-1, and the majority of those came in very competitive races. She's booked the excellent Ben Jones claim at £5 off, so he's essentially running off 138. Which to me would make him look very well treated on his fourth in the Cauto Star last year, the race that Lebago Raw won. Santini was third and Top of the Game was second, so that would look strong form. With some decent horses well behind him that day, I think the World's End was in behind him. Now, Haydock on heavy ground can be a difficult place for horses to have their first start at the track, but I think he's a big enough price to take a chance on. Now, he's also declared in the 3 o'clock Ascot, but that's his second preference. And if he was to run in that, I'd fancy him for that as well, but I think he's going to run here. And I think he's a massive chance. So yeah, that's Red Indian. He's about 14-1 at the moment.
Cool. Very, very good analysis there, chaps. Hope that helps you. The 3:15 is the new one, Unibet Hurdle, registered as the Champion Hurdle Trial, and it's over 2 miles. We've only got four runners, but we've got the second favourite for the Champion Hurdle in Penton Hills at the head of Paddy Power's Market, Niall.
Yeah, he's our 6-5 favourite. Durasso is 130, Cornerstone Lad 7-2, and then Ballyandy is 4-1. No each way in this race.
No, absolutely not, G-Rod. DJ, what do you make of this?
I don't know, Bruce. It's a funny sort of race. I've never liked Pentland Hills. And I thought people got a little bit carried away with his performance at Cheltenham. I know he travelled as well as anything to halfway up the run-in, but like, it was a bit of a mess of a race. They crawled the whole way through. I couldn't imagine him winning the Champion Hurdle. I really couldn't. Like, he should be up to winning this. Like, the cool horse at the minute all week has been Durasso, because it was obviously entered in this race. And then on the road to Cheltenham, Ruby Walsh put him up as a Beach Road style tip for the Champion Hurdle. And Kevin Blake has since done a blog on Betfair saying that he thinks he's got a big chance in the Champion Hurdle. He's overpriced. And the key thing there is that Kevin Blake is Joseph O'Brien's race planner. So he would have an insight into that yard, and he thinks he's got a chance in the Champion Hurdle. Like, Durasso, this is basically what he wants, heavy ground around a track like Haydock. So he should be suited. And I think he'll probably beat Pentland Hills. The worry is obviously he hasn't been seen for 306 days. But the form of his Goran Park run is really, really strong, because back in third that day was Cur Sublime, who wasn't right that day, but it's still strong form. And even the form from the Webster Cup win at Navan has worked out well, because Cadmium was second and Cadmium went on to win the Topham at Aintree. So the form is strong. The worry is the break, but he'll absolutely adore this ground. And when, like me, you're not a huge fan of Pentland Hills, the only option is Durasso.
Durasso for DJ, who for Niall?
I disagree with Dave in that I quite like Pentland Hills, but for the champion hurdle, I just think the way that race is going to be run will suit this race. Four runners at Haydock in heavy ground at the price, I'll definitely be taking them on. I wouldn't be too disappointed if he got beaten here in regards to champion hurdle. The one to probably take him on is Durasso. So a similar case that Dave just made. He likes heavy ground. His form worked out from last year, and he's been targeted the champion hurdle as well. So I'd imagine he'll be fairly straight for this. So at the price, I'll just back Durasso.
Ballyandy ran a storm of you in the Greatwood when you tipped him on here. Are you going to keep the faith?
He did, yeah. Obviously, Ruby Walsh and Kevin Blake had been watching the Racing Postcast over the Christmas period when I put up Durasso as a big champion hurdle outsider.
Don't talk up Racing Post on Racing Post products. You know, Kevin Blake and Ruby, whoever his blog is. Anyone else you want to advertise, DJ? A bit of time for him?
Sorry, Graham.
They obviously were listening. I think Durasso is a hugely talented individual, and I put him in my tent to follow at the start of the season, thinking that he could go wherever they wanted to put him, really. He's won over fences, he's won over hurdles, he's won over 2 miles, he's won over 2.5. I agree, obviously, with everyone's comments that he is a serious horse. I just worry about the return from such a long absence. First time up on really testing ground at Haydock. I think he's going to have to be fairly straight to beat Ballyandy, as you say, is one of my favourites since they've dropped him back to 2 miles. I think what he likes is sort of a strongly run, stiff 2 miles. And obviously on testing ground here, I think the galloping track, that should bring his stamina into play.
Will there be enough pace for him, though?
That is a worry, but Cornerstone Lad obviously went off like a million miles last time and won the fight in fifth, so I expect he'll make the run in. The one I absolutely cannot have, one of the lays of the day, is Pentland Hills, the favourite. He's one of the worst favourites of the day. He needs to improve just to beat Ballyandy on that Cheltenham form, obviously. Now, I know he travelled through the race like the best horse, but he didn't finish it off as well as you would have hoped. And I always think that Nicky Henderson's runners usually fairly straight first time out. This might not be the case here. I know that Henderson's saying that he will come on for the run, but again, I'm not convinced that heavy ground is ideal for Pentland Hills either. I don't think he wants a real test of stamina. I think he looks like more of a speed horse. So I'm absolutely desperate to take on Pentland Hills. There's no way I'll be seeing Durasso win without winning, so I'll definitely be having a little bit on him, but my main bet will be on Ballyandy.
Okay, who wins the champion hurdle? Just the name, don't care why. DJ?
Charger.
Niall?
Pentland Hills.
Shy? G-Rod?
I will say Epatant.
Really?
Yeah.
You're all wrong. Honeysuckle. Right, what else do you fancy on Saturday? DJ, don't give your nap away, but tell us, away from the ITV cameras, who we should be backing.
Yeah, really, like, it's hard to believe. I strongly fancy a horse with form figures of 0 UPU. But I think Zina Nure in the 3:45 at Haydock is going to be very hard to beat. He's basically a winner without a penalty. He was absolutely cantering and about 6 or 7 lengths clear when falling 3 out of Taunton last time. David Maxwell owns him and rides him. And I know, like, I absolutely love this guy because he just knows his limitations. He takes the piss out of himself. But it's. I know he was coming from a very low base, but he's improved so much, it's unbelievable. 3 of his last 6 rides have won. And fair play to him. He owns the horses. Why shouldn't he ride them? So I think he's going to win on Zina Nure in the 3:45 at Haydock. And I just have a couple from my local track, Navan, as well. In the 12:45, which is a really interesting race, Gordon Elliott has 2 runners in this. And the one I like is Tronador for Dennis O'Regan, who's a 4-year-old, is getting all the allowances. And I think it gets £24 from stablemate Flanair. So Tronador in the 12:45. And one at a bigger price in the 1:55, Harret, the Navan handicap hurdle. It's a valuable handicap hurdle. Harret won the race 2 years ago, and he's only £2 higher now. And Charles Burns has booked Kevin Broder to take the ride. He'll be a double-figure price now, Harret. So he's very interesting. And just a note that the second favourite for the RSA, Manila Indo, runs in the 3:05. He'll be about 1-3, but he's quite exciting over fences, and it'd be disappointing if he doesn't win.
We'll keep an eye out for that. Thank you, DJ. Niall, what have you got for us?
So in the 3:45 Haydock, I know Dave fancies Zizaner, but I actually fancy Muratello for Nigel Twiston-Davis. Sam Twiston-Davis takes the right. Now, last time out, he ran in that handicap at Kempton on Boxing Day. He's beaten 25 lengths by Comanche Red, but he actually travelled quite well. I think he got hampered at one point as well. If you go back to last year at Haydock, he finished third behind Mr. Fisher with Bright Forecast in second. Now, that form actually worked out very well. Esprit du Large, who won the grade one at Sandown earlier this year, was in fourth. So it looked pretty strong form. He's off 125 and second start after a wind-off. I think he'd be a big enough price initially. So yeah, I'll back in. That's Muratello. In the 130 Haydock, Frank was actually ramping one to me here. Sam Brown, but I'm actually going against him with Knight in Dubai. He's won his last two starts for Harry Skelton very impressively. He jumps really well. He's got some strong hurdle form to his name as well. And he really seems to be coming into his own over fences. So if he's a decent price, I'll back him. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. And G-Rod, you forgot to print yours out, didn't you? So we had to make a little note on my phone. So here they are.
Thanks, yeah.
Don't read out the shopping list.
So we've got a bit of local track action. It's great to see a DJ putting up his sources at his local track, so you can have a little local track multiple here. Chelmsford, obviously my local track, 6:15, Storm Over. Loves the course. It's got some good form at Chelmsford. It's got a good draw in stall three. You need to be on towards the inside around that tight track. This one ran really well at Newcastle last time. It finished fourth, but it was a hell of a lot better than the bare form because it was a strange day where everything was winning up the stand side rail. Everything just flowing up the stand side rail, and Storm Over was for some reason being kept right over on the other side of the track, which is not the best way to be. So Storm Over back at Chelmsford in the 6:15, then 7:15 at Chelmsford, Glory of Paris. This one was second guide horse that I tipped on Monday called Custard Dragon at Southall, and that was a really good run. I think a reproduction of that form might be good enough. Then they had him back out the following day. I can't remember where it was, but I can't remember.
Hold on.
I've lost my thread. Hold on.
What do you want me to do while we're holding on?
I don't know, just talk for a minute.
I can't. I'm
not...
Does it matter where
it was important. Okay. Yes, so sorry, yes. No, I got it back, right. Yeah, he ran really well when he was behind Custard the Dragon. He was second on Monday. And then they brought him out the next day at Chelmsford over seven. And it was seven at Southall, but his best form was at a mile. And he was drawn on the wide outside, which, as I've just said, is not a place to be at Chelmsford. And the commentator, I think it was Gareth Topham, said, oh, he's got, and Gore of Paris is going the Ordnance Survey route, which I thought was fantastic. And you don't want to be going the Ordnance Survey route around Chelmsford. It's a very, very tight track. And he did remarkably well. He's staying on really strongly down the middle of the track over seven. Now, I think his last two wins have come over a mile. This race is over a mile. He's got a better draw in stall four. Glory of Paris, 7:15 Chelmsford. Great okay. chance.
I know ITV Chief said they're going to watch this when they found out you were on because they're thinking of offering you a big contract. You just blew it. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Niall O'Reilly, you can go first. Who's your nap?
2:40 Haydock, Red Indian, or if he's declared for the 3 o'clock Ascot, either that's the same horse, Red Indian.
Okay.
It's a second preference.
Jolly good. Graham.
Well, I know I'm not meant to say it. I should probably have waited, but in the 7:15 at Chelmsford, Glory of Paris. I think like the general idea is that you're meant to wait and give that as your
well, it's not just the general idea. It's what we've been doing for about 5 years.
But I just got so excited about that one that I couldn't hold back. So Glory of Paris, 7:15 Chelmsford.
DJ.
Pick Dory, 2:25 at Ascot. I'd be bitterly disappointed if he doesn't win.
Okay, some good racing coming up on Sunday. We'll do that next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powell's Niall O'Reilly. Looking at some good races at Thurles on Sunday. Whereabouts in Ireland is Thurles, DJ?
Tipperary.
So bang in the middle?
No, south, kind of. It's in Munster, so it'd be like 2/3 of the way down.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's look at the 2:45. It's the Horse and Jockey Hotel Chase. It's better known as the Kinloch Bray, but they've finally found a sponsor, so that's good. It's over 2.5 miles. I don't think we've got prices yet, but when I read the names of the horses out, you'll realise it's a high-quality affair as usual. Hardline, Voix de Rêve, Real Steel, Jets, and likely odds-on favourite Footpad. G-Rod, would you expect Footpad, who is, I don't know, he looked like the second coming at one point and then it didn't really materialise. Do you think he can get himself back on track here?
I was very disappointed with him at Kempton. Yeah, I thought that race absolutely fell apart, didn't it? I mean, Surname was never going from an early stage. Lost in Translations ran well below form. Clanders Over was won by a million miles. And I mean, I thought it was a very disappointing run from Footpad. I know he travelled quite well to the home turn. And maybe you can argue he didn't see it out. But it was only 3 miles around Kempton.
So you're taking him on
and
here?
He had won over 2.6 miles previous start. So I couldn't have him, even though, obviously, if he does reproduce his win at the track, he will win. But a real steal. He's got a good chance of beating him. I thought we ran very well behind Min last time out in Grade 1 company. And this is a bit of a drop in grade. So I'll take a chance on Real Steel turning him over.
Who are you going to go for, David Jennings?
This is a big statement now, but I think Footpad is possibly one of the most overrated horses in training. Like, he took advantage of a really, really weak year to win the Racing Post Arkell. You know, Petty Mouchoir was in there. Do you remember Petty Mouchoir and St. Calvados took each other on? And to me, he's just a grand horse. He's good. He's probably a grade two horse. And look, he probably should be winning this, and maybe he will. But I just always kind of want to take him on because I think he's overrated and he's always underpriced. And he had a hard race at Kempton, he really did, and he didn't stay. And I think when horses don't stay, they have much harder races than they would over trips that they should be running over. And for that reason, I'm going to go for Real Steel. I know he was behind Hardline in the John Durkin, the race that Min won. But I just thought with Real Steel, he's a funny sort of a horse. He doesn't jump particularly well, and he has the potential to make really crucial mistakes. And he did so at the last in the John Durkin. But I think Paul Townend does get on particularly well with Real Steel, and he won on him at Down Royal earlier on in the season. There's only actually £3 between Real Steel and Footpad on ratings. Now, I know Real Steel has to give Footpad £5 here, but I just think Real Steel is a little bit more reliable than Footpad. So Real Steel for me.
Two people taking on Footpad with Real Steel. Are you going to join them, Niall?
Yeah, Footpad, he's had a lot of issues recently. I think he had bleeding problems. He's had overreaches. So if he's odds on, I'll definitely be laying him. Real Steel looks the one to take him on. He's getting, £2 from Hardline and ran really well behind Min. So yeah, Real Steel for me as well.
Everyone's going for Real Steel. The other graded race at Thurles on Sunday is the 3.20. It's the Cornwall National Hunt size Capri, Irish EBF, Mares Novices Chase, and it's over 2.5 miles, and the field is Ellie Mae, Augusta Gold, Caravation, Cut the Mustard, Grey Waters, Tin Tangle, Western Victory. Who wins, David Jennings?
I would say Ellie Mae is going to be pretty short here. She is 1 from 1 over fences. She won her last 2 hurdle starts as well. I'd say she'd be very hard to beat. I was very impressed with Cut the Mustard at Limerick. It was funny. Willie Mullins had another horse in the race that was absolutely hammered in the betting, and Custom Mustard absolutely bolted up. But I just think Ellie Mae, rated 140 over hurdles, seemed to love chasing when it won at Cork. So Ellie Mae, but she's going to be short.
Ellie Mae for you as well, Niall?
Yeah, definitely. She's one that will definitely be suited by this mare's chase when it comes in next year. So yeah, I think she'll be short and I think she'll win.
Do you agree with the lads, Ellie Mae?
Yeah, I agree with the lads. She's improving. She's got the best form in the race. Last time out was her best performance and I think that she'll win.
Okay, what else do you fancy Sunday? David Jennings.
I really like one in the 135, a horse called Viz Ta Loy, trained by Willie Mullins in the Hurricane Fly colours. Now this could be a price because Paul Townend has opted to ride the other Willie Mullins horse, Monkfish, in this. I think Monkfish is really, really slow. Festival Dex is in there for Gordon Elliott, who's likely to be a shorter price than Viz Ta Loy. But this Viz Ta Loy, I think, could have a bit to offer. And I wouldn't even be surprised to see him running quite well in something like the Albert Bartlett. His form is pretty solid. He was third, only beaten a length and a half by Fury Road, who I think is the most likely winner of the Albert Bartlett, in a grade two at Limerick. And he won a maiden hurdle at Clonmel back in November. So I think he could be a bit of value here, and I think he's going to take the world of beating. That's Viz Ta Loy.
And I think, Graham, you've sussed one. We don't normally have wolves on a Sunday, do we? But we do this weekend. What do you like?
No, yeah, we might well need it, given the weather forecast, might we? Yeah, the 3.10 at Wolverhampton. I think Zappa Cass is going to be quite a short price favourite, having won twice in the last two starts at Southall. But that's a lot of a different test at Southall. 5 furlongs straight down on the fiber sand, as opposed to 5 furlongs on Tepet around a bend at Wolverhampton. So I have to be taken on Zappacass at a short price. And the one that I like is Dynamo Walt, who won at the course last time and has got a good record on Tepet. And one of his best runs also came at Newcastle. The only downside is drawn in stall 8. However, a lot of those on the inside of him are often held up. So I could see Lewis Edmonds bouncing him out and getting him a good position from stall 8. And Dynamo Walt might be hard to beat. 3:10 at Wolverhampton.
Okay, on Monday we've got the weekend review postcast in which the team also look ahead to what's coming up. And coming up on Thursday at Garum Park is their big race. It's the Thyestes Chase. Very competitive staying handicap. And DJ, who is catching your eye at this early stage?
Yeah, it's funny, obviously, to Thyestes is the main race, but I think the race of the day is actually going to turn out to be the 150. That's the Galmoy Hurdle, because I spoke to Gordon Elliott yesterday. He said Appleshade definitely runs, and he said Debt Duty returns as well in that race. Presenting Percy is likely to run as well, and Benny's Dadu is entered as well. So if they all turn up, that is going to be some race. It's going to be really exciting. But as regards to Thyestes, that's at 3:00. Look, you know me, Bruce. I am a disaster. I am the completely the forgiven type. And I am going to give Manila Fair another chance. I am just utterly convinced when he gets heavy ground in a big handicap, he's going to absolutely bolt up. I was hoping that would have been in the Paddy Power at Christmas at Leopardstown, where he jumped quite well early on. But he just absolutely stopped to walk down the back straight. And I spoke to Sean Flanagan after the race. I said, Sean, have I got this horse completely wrong? What's going on? Is he not one of the best handicap chasers? Like best handicapped horses over fences in Ireland. He goes, look, he could be, but he needs it absolutely bottomless. I cannot emphasize enough. He needs it basically when there's an inspection in the morning and the whole way during the card, they're wondering will they get through the card. That's the ground he needs. It's already heavy at Goran Park. I know it's given quite a kind of frosty, dry week, but if it's already heavy at Goran Park, it's going to be heavy on Thursday. And I think finally, Manila Fair, who I think is better going right-handed as well, is going to get his ground. He's 25-1. If it is as bottomless as I think it will be, I don't think Manila Fair will be 25-1. And me being the forgiving type is going to forgive Manila Fair and give him one more chance.
Okay, and Niall, what are your Thyestes thoughts?
The one that stood out to me was Live, Love, Laugh for Willie Mullins. Now, he's a bit disappointed in the Paddy Power Christmas, but prior to that, last year, he ran, like, he looked like he was beaten a long way in the Grand National, but he absolutely tanked through that race, really taking to the fences. Like, he's a lot of bad runs in there, but all of them seem to come at Cheltenham, a track he doesn't like. And now, I wouldn't want the ground absolutely bottomless for him, but I think he'd be okay in it. He's off a mark of 143. I'd be interested to see what the jockey bookings are for this race, because he won't be 25-1 if one of the good lads take him, like Poundland or something like that. That's Live, Love, Laugh.
Beautiful. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. What's the weekend plans, G-Rod?
Yeah, I'm going to West Ham tomorrow. They're playing Everton, so that should be a cracking game, because obviously two new managers who have both started off fantastically. And then I'm working on Sunday.
Are you? Are you live tipster?
No, I'm not live tipping on Sunday.
Oh, you're doing the Monday tipping.
Me and Bertie used to do the Sunday for Monday. I used to do Monday for Tuesday. We've had a swap up this year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So now I'm doing the Sunday and Bertie switched over to Monday.
And I hear you're planning to go and visit the Emerald Isle soon, aren't you?
I would like to come over for the Dublin Racing Festival.
Keely's over, isn't he? So you've decided you fancy ruining your liver with a weekend with him.
But I've just found out that Keely's over there, and I'm worried that I've got to work on the Sunday, and I'm worried that if I go racing with Keely on the Saturday and then end up maybe going out afterwards.
There's no maybe about it.
Now, what is the possibility of me getting in my column on Sunday? I would say it's probably not very high.
So maybe not a great idea.
Might not be the best idea, but I have been known to do stupid things in the past.
It's going to be good. Have you got a busy weekend, DJ?
Oh, I have to go back to that wall. Do you remember the wall I was talking about last week I had to paint? So, you know when you actually paint a wall, and when you actually have it finished, it looks great. But then when it dries, it doesn't look as good. And I just made a shambles of it, so I have to have another go tomorrow.
There's only one more thing, but more boring than watching paint dry, and that's listening to a story about paint dry, particularly when it's from DJ. So you are literally painting and decorating this weekend, yeah?
That's harsh. That's very harsh. It's only like a small wall, but it's just a bit tricky. I'm doing that tomorrow, and Sunday I have to go to my best mate's little boy, Dylan. He's two, so I have to go to a two-year-old's birthday party, so I'll probably fit in quite well.
Jolly good. And Niall, what about you? Hard at it?
No, I'm off tomorrow, so I'm going out for some food tonight. And then tomorrow I'm actually taking a trip down to Meath to visit a horse I have in training down there called Partlet in a Shane Crawley's yard. But yeah, that's my plans.
Oh, lovely. That would be nice. Okay, guys, thank you very much indeed for your input. Don't forget, if you want a little bit more info on the weekend action and also a live second screen companion, the Racing Post app answers all your needs. It's got all the race cards, all the news, live tipster, and of course you can bet through it direct with your bookmaker. Right, we're back on Monday for the weekend review. We've got football on Thursday, and then we're back next Friday to look ahead to a smashing day at Cheltenham. It's Trials Day. Hope you can join us for that. We'll be right back.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.